The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to
God. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was preparing to preach this text, this is the only time that I had a different reflection about this text. And this time around, when I read it, I find that this text fits in the commencement of the graduating class. So I would take that the 11 disciples who were with Jesus for 3 years, now is the time to graduate. And it fits the genre of the commencement speeches that we often hear, and sometimes always we hear the gems of wisdom and the pills of hope and words of challenge. And in this case, one phase of their life together was ending, and another phase is beginning. And one of the things that strikes me in this is that Jesus mentioned the three things these disciples has to do. Number one, they have to preach, they have to baptize, and they have to teach. But I want to add one little more thing to them. They had to listen. I think Jesus should have said, "Hey guys, you also need to listen." You know, many times we think we all have these answers and we just want to go and give. Please, still a little bit, listen. This is what the disciples says to do. My dear friends, this morning, I would like to just put some few things in front of us about this text. But first, I'd like to say it would have been so easy for the disciples to assume that everything was over. The call, the commitment, and the commission could have all ended on that fateful Friday when Jesus was crucified. When the one in whom they had committed their lives was murdered. The trauma of the crucifixion of their teacher, of their leader, of their friend, and Messiah sent them scattering in fear, but also in grief. And as much as Jesus had tried to prepare them, all this time he has been indicating that he was going to die, and on the third day he will. All these things did not make sense. They didn't really understand. They really weren't ready for the life to work without him. So for them, it was over. But something happened after they received the testimony of the women. "He is not dead. He is alive," they said. "Go and meet him in Galilee." And when the disciples gathered at the mountain of Galilee, the resurrected Christ, the living Lord, Jesus Christ, met them there. And this is where it's very important. The disciples, when they met Jesus, there were two groups of people. Some worshipped him, but others doubted. And this is where the issue of discipleship is all around. Some doubted, some worshipped him. And that mixture of faith and doubt also characterizes discipleship. My dear friends, We too are called to go, but sometimes we wonder. We wonder if they would listen to us. We wonder if we can make sense to them. And all this is very important. And people come to worship. We, every Sunday, we come to worship. But still, sometimes others still wonder whether anything that we are talking about is true. Even people who are in the church, they still wonder whether this is true or it's just mere wisdom that we are trying to teach. But today, it's normal to do that. Don't worry. Don't worry, my dear friends. We bring our doubts, our wonders to the place where Jesus promised to meet us. And he is here to meet us with those doubts. How does Jesus respond to this mixed group of people, of those who worshiped him and those who doubted him? And he gives them all the same commission, the doubters and the worshippers. Go and make disciples. And one might expect Jesus to do something else, you know, calling those who are uncertain to give them the time to figure out. Or also those are hesitant to answer their unanswered questions. But instead, Jesus simply speaks to them all in the same way. Go and make disciples. I mean, how is this possible? How do you take these two groups of people with the same message and those who are doubting? I know we doubt, and doubt is part of discipleship. But by the way, even the doubters, as they go out to the ministry, it's not about them, but it's about the Spirit. So as you doubt, don't worry, the Holy Spirit is with you. Amen?
Yeah.
So let me say this morning, I want to highlight something about why Jesus met the disciples on the mountain. Here is something that I want to take a little bit back from the history of the Bible. God is a way of showing up and also showing out in the mountains. God met Moses at the back of the side of mountain, Mount Horeb, where God gave Moses the message and the mission of liberation of his people. And second, God met Elijah at Mount Carmel, where God declared once again that God was God and God's people believed because God showed up and showed them out. But also this third time that you all remember in the New Testament is Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration, where once again they were given the epiphany and the glimpse of eternity of and glory of Jesus Christ. Yes, there is something special about God and mountains. Of course, other gospel writers did not write necessarily mention about the mountain. Mark and Luke would say Jesus met his disciples around the dinner table. And John says Jesus met his disciples in the closed room in the upper room. But only Matthew mentions the mountain. So here, the Galilean mountain signified something new and powerful was to be initiated. It's not over yet. Jesus is taking the disciples on the top of the mountain and says, it's not over yet, after he just resurrected. And Jesus greets them. And they are worshiping him, and even in the midst of their worship, there are still some who questions him. There is still some uncertainty. And Jesus declared, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And Jesus, the one who confronted, Jesus, the one who taught with authority. Jesus, the one who healed with authority. Jesus, the one who confronted power with authority. He declares to his scared and frightened followers, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. But I was trying to ask myself, I'm bringing another new word today. I think you need to add this in your dictionary. What is authority mean? What is authority? I would like to say authority is followability. I don't think you've heard about this word. I'm inventing, I'm coining it today. So authority is followability. In other words, true authority is what gives people the confidence to follow. And that is Jesus. So Jesus is all authority. So to give the confidence to the disciples for them to follow. So we see them, all authority is given. So it is based upon this authority that Jesus commissions the disciples, that he gives them the job description. He gives them their purpose, and he gives them the mission statement. And Jesus' way is the way of saying to the disciples, it's not over. I know you don't understand what is happening. I know you don't understand what's going to happen. But just remember this, it's not over. Go and make the disciples. So Jesus commanded the disciples to move beyond where they were standing. So in other words, my dear friends, don't get stuck in where you have been. Don't get stuck where you think you are, but dare to move out. Too often the Church of Jesus Christ has been willing to settle for the status quo. We have got stuck in where we have been. Or we think that what God is doing in our midst is all that God is ever going to do. No. But Jesus comes and says, go. Move from where you are. Go out and be about the business of making disciples. In other words, this word go as a verb is an action word, an energy word, a motivating word, a get up and move word. So in other words, the disciples had to change altogether, even in terms of geography, they had to change from where they were standing. So my dear friends, here is something that I want to correct this morning. Making disciples is not synonymous with the recruitment for church followers in our church roles. And again, making disciples is not about converting. Today, I want to say making disciples is about building a relationship. It's not about membership. It's about a relationship. It's not the numbers. It's not a numbers game which Jesus is talking about. No, but it's taking time to enter into a relationship with others that is deeper than the superficial friendship. It is a daring to share with others the life-giving, the life-liberating, and the death-defying relationship with God in Jesus Christ. So, in other words, it is inviting others into this relationship. Go to all nations. But again, this word all nations is problematic as well. Mm-hmm. By this time, we need to understand it, the time of this story. Remember in chapter 10, the word will say, do not go to the Gentiles. Now the word is saying, go to all nations. So the all nations were the Gentiles in this case. But here is something I want to mention this day. Today, it is a rationality, relationship. So today, Miles Harrison is invited in this relationship. He is invited in this deep relationship, not only to his parents, not only to the grandparents, but to us as a community, to us as a church, but not only to us, to God the Father, to God the Son, and God the Spirit. So Miles, my dear friend, you are invited and you will be baptized in this relationship. Amen?
Amen.
It is in this relationship, Miles, where you will belong. Miles is hearing me, is looking at me intently. You belong to this relationship, my friend. But let me say this thing as well, my dear. Let me say parenthetically, that this is not an invitation for imperialistic evangelism. Oh, let me share you some but this is very, very true. You know, I come from Zimbabwe, and until 1988, you know, we are a product of the missionaries as a church. Until 1988, it's not very far, right? 1988, we were not even allowed to use the drums in the church, because the drums and all this were used in the African traditional religion. So if you use them, in other words, you are taking your African traditional religion into the church. So we're not using all these things. And now I see drums are all over in the Western churches. But we were refused to use these things at that time. So what I'm saying is, it's not about this imperialistic evangelism. And yes, the church has a history of believing that we are carrying a gospel of Jesus. And what we are really doing is carrying out our own political and cultural proclivities. And we lead the people into cultural alienation and destruction. If we think of what has been done to the Aboriginal people around the world, in the name of evangelism, we have missed the boat of truly understanding what God does not call us to make others just like us, but to extend an invitation that others might know who they are in Jesus Christ and become fully liberated in that knowledge. So, what is mission in this case? Mission is not just another process of human persuasion or propaganda. It's telling the truth about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So it is an invitation to move beyond our own narrow worldview and to encounter a world that Jesus came and that they might have life and a life abundantly. So you can't stop with you and yours. I mean, you know, the gospel, the word is not a private commodity, you know. It's you need to share with others. But again, you don't only share with your own local people, you know. No, the gospel is corporate. It's communal. And it goes beyond the self and those who are close to you. So God's love and God's liberation and favor is not about to be limited. It must be made available to the world. Go beyond what you know. Encounter Jesus in other places and carry his love there, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And when you go, when you baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, you make them part of the Jesus movement. And Miles, today, we are part of this Jesus movement. You are part of that, my friend. So you have work to do, my dear friends, together. Now, even also the parents of Miles and the entire community, we have the job to do. And it's not over yet. It's not over. It's not complete. And it will not be completed in one generation. And by the way, this is what makes me happy today. When we baptize a little kid like Miles, we are saying we have got a change of the next generation. Amen? Yeah. This is life. It's not over with us. The old, the church, the new church has begun again today with Miles. My friends, the magnitude of the work to which we are called is big, very big, not only for this generation, but for the generations to come. But in the midst of this awesome challenge, in the midst of Jesus saying it's not over, there comes a promise. I will be with you always, even into the end of the age. So Jesus' presence with the disciples, Jesus' presence with us, is a reminder it's not over. The work of God continues in us, through and through us. And so, as we go forth, my dear friends, into the world, we are not alone. God is present. God is active. God is creating and recreating. God is redeeming, and God is sustaining the creation. Yes, God is with us, And God, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, is with us through the Holy Spirit to the end of the age. And it is along the way that Jesus will prove the word, his presence to be true. Amen.